Do you have any special hand signals that you want to show me before we start? Like,
like bail. Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life and deliver things by hand. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores. We are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
And I have a leg cramp. We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles and alternative transportation, arts and culture, communication and the internet. And today, arrogance?
Yes, we got arrogance, we got car sharing, we got a ton of other things. So, and I once again did the thing where I forgot to ask you, how do you pronounce your last name, Kathy?
Hasty.
I assumed that was it, but I didn't want to be presumptuous. So, good to have you in. Kathy Hasty, thank you for joining us. You are Bike Portland's lifestyle columnist.
That is my current title, yes.
And formerly, well, it was Portland Afoot's lifestyle, which it was called Mood to Move, if
Mood
I'm not mistaken.
Mood to Move, yes, we called it that.
Okay. But yeah, you've done a bunch of very interesting writing about a number of subjects. So we brought you in to inform us and enlighten us. We've also got news. We've got mail. We've got iTunes reviews.
Oh, yeah.
And Stitcher reviews.
Oh, I didn't know we had Stitcher reviews.
Yeah, I didn't even know they existed. I kind of stumbled across them last week. So there's one from Timo. And I think that's enough for an hour. So, yeah. Aaron, did anything exciting?
We got an action-packed hour for you, kids.
Kapow. Anything happen to you this last week?
Oh, man. Did it.
Tell me.
First, let me tell you about last night. Actually, this is probably all I'll talk about.
Okay.
I met... I don't know if you know this guy. I met Walt Curtis.
Walt Curtis.
Last night. Self-proclaimed, at least, poet laureate of the city, if not actual. I didn't bother to actually do any research on this guy.
Okay.
I went to see a movie starring Harry Potter.
That's right.
That wasn't Harry Potter.
Daniel Radcliffe?
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
The guy with the glasses.
Playing Allen Ginsberg. It stars, or the characters are actual people based on true events, I guess. But it's Hollywood, so, you know, I'm not going in looking for accuracy.
It's not real.
Yeah. But
certainly not a documentary
and
by any means.
Right, no, not at all. Barely a biopic.
Just barely.
Barely. These people existed. Some of these things may or may not have happened.
Here's a story about them.
Yes.
You fill in the rest.
But, you know, I didn't care. I just wanted to be entertained.
Uh-huh.
But good old Walt Curtis, poet laureate of the city, at least self-proclaimed.
Yes.
Had lots of issues with this movie. And
was he sitting next to you?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's the worst part was like, so there was three of us there in the theater. The credits are rolling and we're just talking about like, you know, did this happen? Did this not really happen? You know, one of the people with us was from Germany. And so I'm explaining to her, like, you know, Allen Ginsberg used to be a poet.
You have to start from scratch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just give her some context of who these people were
okay. In
this movie that she just saw. And, you know, she was like, oh yeah, I didn't know these were real people. I thought this was just a regular movie, which I think in a way she probably enjoyed it a lot more than us because
of
that.
Okay.
Yeah. But as I'm explaining this, Walt Curtis, poet laureate of the city, self-proclaimed, came and told us all of his issues with this movie, and apparently, you know, is contemporary. Is that the right word? At least claims to have rubbed shoulders with these guys and been around at this time and knew them. And that's all great and all, and I actually went so far as to Google his name, and he is a poet from Portland, Oregon.
Is he laureate, though? That's the question.
Yeah, I didn't go that far. I just wanted to make sure that this person okay. was a real person.
Gotcha.
And he does have a Wikipedia entry that I read, like, the first two sentences and then, like, threw my iPod across the room. He's fucking real?
Well, you know, you have to be a person of note to have a Wikipedia page about
this
you, because I've tried to make one about me, and it
hasn't worked out.
Huh? I don't think you can make it about yourself. That's part of the it's part of the rule.
I'll
I
sign
believe.
Up. I'll make one for you.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, I'll make one for you.
Awesome.
It'll be a trade.
Deal. But anyways, yeah, you know, I don't care who he was, is, or aspires to be, but I didn't really care to hear about the accuracy of the movie. And
because it
breathe
was a movie.
Secondhand liquor. And, you know, there was several times where I just, like, kept pushing back to him, like, I don't care how accurate this movie is. I just wanted to watch a movie.
Mm. And he was pushing his ideas
and,
on you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And
that's a less comfortable position.
We got up and left the theater, having to pass him. Like, he's standing in the aisle, like, blocking us from getting out of our seats. And so, you know, we got up and just sort of pushed our way past him, and he just followed us and followed us into
kind
the lobby.
Kind of followed you
home. Went into the bathroom, followed us into the bathroom. Finally, like, got out of the bathroom, you know, without him following us out of the bathroom. But these other guys were like, oh, you met Walt Curtis. And so we kind of got in a conversation with these other guys, which delayed us from leaving the theater, and Walt found us again.
He caught up with you.
Damn
okay.
it.
Interesting.
And it was just horrible.
I've always hoped that I wasn't going to be the guy who's doing that to somebody else.
Yeah.
But I'm always thinking about that when I'm talking to, like, someone who's more notable than me, who might have a larger Wikipedia page than I do.
Sure.
I think, like, they probably are done talking to me before I'm done talking to them.
Well, sure. But here's the thing. Like,
he may be
an authority. And maybe everything he said was true. But at the time, he wasn't Walt Curtis, poet laureate of the city, to me. He was this drunken asshole pushing his ideas on me.
He was Walt Curtis in your way as you're trying to leave
yes.
the theater.
Okay. Yes, exactly.
Huh. Well, I guess maybe it's a good thing I didn't join you for that movie then.
yeah.
Because I was getting ready for bed. And it was cold.
It was a really cold day yesterday.
It's been really cold the past couple of days. Yep. I heard someone say, and I'm not sure, Kathy, if you have any authority on this topic, let us know. I believe I've been told that Saturday, was the coldest day for Oregon on record.
Ever?
I think since they've been keeping record of Oregon's temperatures and weather.
Oh, shit.
So I can't confirm
that. Something like
that
too. I don't remember. But yeah. Yes, it was pretty darn cold.
Yeah. Either way, very cold. To the point where I was actually, I sometimes drive this party bus for people who want to have parties. And this group that we were driving that night wanted to go up to Welch's, which is on the flanks of Hood. It's like maybe 45 minutes out, maybe to an hour outside of town. And I think we got up to, it's called the Skyway Tavern, which it's a great spot. So if you're ever passing through, I don't know if the new bus service up to Mount Hood stops anywhere near it or not, but it's well worth your time. They make a fantastic mac and cheese, which I had with brisket, which was fantastic. But it was at least 7 degrees, if not colder, when I passed one of those like clock and temperature signs. And it felt like it. Like, it felt
yeah.
very cold. I think previous to that, the coldest temperature I'd ever experienced was 8 degrees in Boston. And I couldn't have conceived. I had no idea.
You know, it's very interesting. I've felt really cold temperatures. I work in Alaska sometimes, and I was up in Duluth recently. And I felt negative 15, and frankly, it feels no different than 15.
It's all just cold.
It's all just so cold, and it's just the time that you're out there. That's what it is. If you're out there for 5 minutes and it's 15, you can bear it. But if it's negative 15 with the same amount of time, then that's when you notice.
It's a little bit more painful.
It's a little more painful.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. Time wounds all heals, I guess. It's dangerous stuff. So, yeah, I've been wearing, in fact, still am wearing my my woolen long johns, you know, like, I guess they're not woolen. I think they're synthetic, but my REI brand, which I think is the last place I shop for them, and they've been working for me. But I've been wearing those for, like, the past 3 days, which actually maybe I shouldn't be sharing because that means, like, they're due for a wash, which No one smell me. Now I'm all self-conscious.
It's a good thing, like, podcasting doesn't have smell.
Oh, it's just, what, you wait until the iPod 8.
There you go.
When that comes out, bam, smell.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, it's I've gotten used to wearing, like, double layers of just about everything. And so I think tomorrow it's going to be above freezing for the first time in, like, 5 days.
Oh, wow.
And I can finally take off my layers.
You know, it's funny. I wear the same thing no matter how cold it is, except for I add extra scarves.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, protecting the things that are exposed, like your neck or your hands, or no one should be wearing, I guess, shoes where your feet are exposed. But if that is the case, you got to cover them up.
Who's wearing sandals out here?
Seriously.
Oh, I have to admit, I did wear my flip-flops.
No!
A couple weeks ago. Just a short trip, though.
How did that go for you?
Yeah. It was pretty painful.
Okay, yeah. And well, it wasn't freezing at that point, but it was cold.
It was pretty cold, though.
Was it wet? Was it raining?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
There we go. So it was almost like you were in Hawaii
it
or something.
It was pretty bad.
But not as warm. Not as humid, maybe. Well.
And the worst part was one of them fell off as I was riding.
Oh, no.
I have those old stirrups on my bike, and the flip-flop and the stirrup don't go well together. So one fell off. I had to actually turn around, go back, put it back on my foot.
Did you, like, debate with yourself, is it worth going back?
No, I had the grip on my pedal was tearing into my flesh. Yeah, yeah. It was kind of... You had to do something.
Yeah.
I've had that at least once, I think. It wasn't actually sandals. It was like, it was my pair of Sambas, which are your favorite shoe, Aaron.
Yes.
My pair was, I think, a thinner of sole. Like, they were older. I'd worn them for longer. And so they would really, they wouldn't protect you against much by the time I was done with them. I think they were like, you know, an eighth of an inch or less of sole left on them. And I have the little pegs on my pedals, which usually help you with grip, but in that case, just hurt your toes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Protect your feet, people. So, Kathy, you just had an explosion of stuff on the internet. People caught on to this. Yes.
Controversy, that's right. Yes, I usually write about things that, I don't know, kind of baking and hats and shoes and fun, cool homemaker type things. And then this time I had kind of a big uproar when I wrote about arrogance.
Right, right. Well, and this would not be the first time, since there is an article on record, I believe, where you proposed to name the new transit and bike bridge after yourself.
Yeah, sure,
so
why not?
So this is not the first time.
Why not?
And yet.
The Kathy Hasty bike and
Well, you know, I figured that bridge needed to be named after a biker, a walker, a female. I was like, okay, why not just call it Catherine? That's a good generic kind of name. But you know, I like the names they've got posted in the Oregonian. I'll vote for one of those instead.
Okay. All right. Is that their final list? Are they?
No, I don't think so. It's just some editorial with a few female, famous females in there. But I'm fully behind the female name. I think that's a great
mixed
idea.
In. Mm-hmm. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So that's happening. But and I just realized we haven't opened beverages yet.
We have not. Well, no. I mean, tea.
Well, tea is already open.
It's open.
But the tea bag, if you'd like to dunk your bag, please do. And I left my drink in my saddlebag, so maybe I should do that real quick.
You better go get it.
I should get that, yeah.
While you do that, I will explain what my drink is.
Okay, please do.
All right, so while you're
dear
doing...
dear listeners, crack this open.
While you're doing that, I'm going to try
this
and
isn't
reach
a twist.
For my tea
yeah, good
without
luck.
Knocking anything
it's
over.
It's like a good couple feet away there. This is not a twist. So I'm going to have to wait for Brock and his magical opening thing. But I will explain what this is. This is Boulder Birch Beer from the Rocky Mountain Soda Company. Found this downtown at a little shop called Fizz. And I'm excited.
And I have a nice hot cup of tea.
And what kind of tea is this?
Peppermint tea. It's from, where is it? Trader Joe's. There we go.
They make a good peppermint tea. They make a good tea just about, I think most of their varieties are good.
Tea on a cold day is pretty
That's
awesome.
That's true.
Yeah. And I have the apple ginger from Angry Orchard, which has been making good things recently. They have brought cider out of the basement and into packaging with nutritional facts on it. So, where do we leave off? Arrogance.
Talking about arrogance.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. So this is, I was trying to discern the tone of your article because all of the criticism of your article is taking it very seriously. But I don't see you as a person who is writing, and I could be wrong, but I don't see you as a person writing this article from an arrogant standpoint. I feel a good bit of
Tongue in cheek?
Yes, yes.
You know, it's hard to say because...
or hard to admit to.
I don't know. I have this philosophy that when somebody says something in jest, they really mean it. So that if is, I have
right.
that,
there's usually a kernel of truth in there.
If yeah, I have sure, that sure. philosophy, maybe I should apply it to myself. Maybe yeah. I really mean it. I do mean that I'm arrogant, but you know, arrogance can be defined as proud. It could be defined as noteworthy. You know, like you're actually skilled at something and you are aware of it. It could mean that you're full of yourself. It can mean a lot of different things.
Okay.
And so when I think of my arrogance and I think of other people's arrogance, it could mean any of those things. And it doesn't have to be necessarily a bad thing. It
doesn't have to be a negative context.
Although the word arrogance is kind of a negative.
It sort of has that baggage.
It does, yeah. It does.
It's very shaded, yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Well, let's see. I don't have the article in front of me, but I believe you... Would it be fair to say that you dress people down, these various types that you examined, or is that too harsh?
You know, what does that mean?
Well, just it seemed like you're kind of like, here's this kind of person doing this thing, and they're arrogant. Here's this person doing this thing, they're arrogant. Here's me doing what I do, and I'm a little arrogant, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody who's proud of what they do and thinks it's the best answer for the situation is kind of arrogant. I mean, if I am convinced that my way is the best way, that's really the definition.
It takes a certain amount of arrogance.
Self-confidence? Okay. Yeah. I don't know if you can call it whatever you want. But there's certain types of behavior, whether they're proud or selfish or kind or just confident, that are rude, frankly. And that's kind of what my article was about.
Okay.
People can be proud. They can be a little bit stuck up. They can be a little bit, you know, here I am, look at me. I'm doing the right thing. Sure. But if you cause trouble for other people, come on, you're just being kind of a jerk.
Right, right.
And please don't be a jerk.
Well, yeah, that's kind of a good bottom line. It's the line from The Big Lebowski that former co-host Brandon likes to quote all the time. You're not wrong, Walter. You're just an asshole, which is shockingly applicable to many situations and many lines of thought. So, yeah. And this was also dissected by Bike Snob as well, which
who must be an asshole.
I suppose
snob
so.
Snob is in the name, right?
Yes. I mean, he called it the most smug article he's ever read in his life.
Right.
Holy shit.
But you know what? Smug, that's okay. I don't mind a smug.
Sure, yeah. That was the star of the new Hobbit movie, I think. Now, it was the smuggest article on Bike Portland to date, which I think he already views as being a particularly smug establishment.
Smug thing, yes.
I think so, yeah.
Well, Portland's kind of known for being smug, right?
Right.
It's our reputation.
I thought it was the smug that made for such beautiful sunsets.
Yes, yes. Well, there's a nice tint to it. there are so many ways to go with this. I'm trying to decide which one I want to touch on next, but yes.
I was going to say the comments were interesting because I think a lot of the people who commented responded as if I was in my car writing this article from my steering wheel.
Yeah.
I said things like, I don't like it when you pass me on the right and blow through the stop sign right in front of me while I'm waiting, you know, taking my turn more or less. And I had people respond saying, well, it's perfectly legal to pass cars on the right. I'm on my bike. It is.
Right.
Actually.
Oh,
it is.
For a cyclist to
for
pass
a cyclist.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then other things like, what was another example of somebody thinking I was in my car? It was just really fascinating that the responders might have had this preconceived kind of defense that says, whoever disagrees with me must be driving.
Right.
I'm on my bike, guys.
Right.
That's what I'm complaining about is you mistreating your fellow biker. And I'm not that I'm more special than a driver because I'm not. We're all the same. You know, we all just choose different modes at different times. But I thought that was quite interesting that the response was automatically anti-car.
Yes. Yeah. And to assume makes an ass out of you and me. So the old adage goes. Where have you been passed on the right? I'm curious because this has happened to me, I believe, up on Vancouver and Fremont many times.
You know, I don't mind being passed on the right if it's done politely.
Okay.
I really don't. Because if there's room, fine. If they're passing me precisely so they can get around me, so they can run through that stop sign and not have to wait, and the three of us who are waiting, that's just something that really bugs me. It's
right.
like cutting in line at the grocery store, cutting in line in high school lunch
right.
line or something. It's just not okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's something about that. And usually it happens from someone who, I'm making a lot of assumptions here, but I would assume they think I'm not bicycling fast enough. They also think their momentum is more important than at least the right of way or like the natural order of things on the road. And they also
yes.
believe that brakes are a fallacy.
This brings me to something that annoys me across the board, cars and bikes. For example, I often ride up and down Hawthorne or Belmont, which aren't necessarily the most bike-friendly roads.
Sure. No bike lanes.
Still fun.
Or sheriffs.
Right. And often, like, I'll get cars that'll pass me with very little, you know, margin. Or sometimes, like, honk at me until, you know, it's safe for them to pass and then come by me. And cyclists have a tendency to kind of do – or some cyclists, I should say, have
All
a tendency to do this – to do the same thing. I mean, there's no horns or they don't ring their bells, but, like, really ride you until it's safe to do so or just whiz by you. And across the board, like, my thought is brakes. How hard is it for you to just slow down for a little while?
Use them.
Cars, cyclists, whoever you are. Runners, you know, slow your pace. Although if I'm going that slow, maybe it's okay.
You know, I have to kind of catch on a few of the words that you just said. Margin of kind of clearance that you have when people pass you. I've been biking since I was 15, biking to work. And that was when Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard was called Union.
Union Avenue.
And
yeah.
I would bike my bicycle as a 15-year-old on Union, which
really?
Is probably
wow.
a very bad idea.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that as
especially
a 36-year-old.
When I have a $100 Huffy bike from Sears with no lights on it, because we didn't have lights or helmets back then.
Yeah, and it was dark.
And it was dark, you know, and I was riding home from Lyons Restaurant, where I was a waitress or a hostess, where I wore those long polyester flowered skirts.
Okay.
Talking about margin, I had people roll down their windows, stick their hand out their car window, and try and grab my ass.
Ah.
Talk about margin. There's
Seriously.
No margin there. I mean,
yeah. there is none. Yeah.
They could have killed me.
Wow. That's rough. So you were angry about that, I would assume.
Well, I was naive about the whole thing.
Sure.
I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
But I kind of figured that I'd ride on the side streets after that.
Okay, right. Wait, so was this after a successful contact or?
You know,
close enough for
I don't
discomfort.
Think anybody actually got a handful, but.
Okay.
It was close enough that I was freaked out. I thought,
yeah.
sure,
they could have touched me. I could have fallen under their wheels, and I'd be dead.
Right, and up on Union Avenue, there's so much sexism. It's a lot safer on 7th or something like that. Interesting. So you've been doing this for a long time. What initially you were 15, you say? So this was just kind of a practical thing, like
well,
you know,
that's
a bike.
When you get your first job when you're 15,
and
or at least back
yeah.
then. I don't know if the kids get their jobs now till they're 22.
Yeah,
yeah. But so I had my first job at Lyons Restaurant on Union Street when I was 15 years old, making
okay.
$3 an hour or something. And how am I going to get there? My mom works full time. I have to hop on my bike and get out there. Now, I shouldn't say that I exclusively rode my bike because my mother would probably remind me that she drove me a few times.
That just makes you a pragmatist, which is not a bad thing.
But yeah, riding your bike to work and riding your bike to school and whatnot. I had a bike where I had no seat for the longest time. Someone stole the seat and I was too cheap to buy a new one, but I kept riding it.
There we go.
Oh, wow.
Up the hill to my job at the pool. I was a lifeguard for a while. I rode my bike up the hill, no seat. Downhill wasn't so bad.
Sure. Well, I guess, I mean, sometimes when you're going uphill, we would stand over the handlebars.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
that would be, but not the whole way, I'm sure.
The whole 3.5 miles.
Yeah. Right. Miles. Aaron, you were with me when I lost, when my seat was stolen.
Yeah.
After the Tango
your
show.
Yeah, Brooks was stolen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I tried riding it without a seat, just the MAX station.
What did we were going along, was that 12th or 9th?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Over to Holiday?
Trying to catch the last MAX out of Lloyd.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
And it was ridiculous. Yeah, I had no tolerance in my legs for that sort of motion. I like seats; they're good. So yes, this is an intense ride that you had, Kathy. So, how did you decide to keep the bike as a central piece in your transportation picture? Like, what made you do that instead of grabbing the car for later life?
That's a good question. I mean, I think I'm not an exclusive biker. I mean, that's for one thing. I can say for sure. It's a piece of my repertoire, right? But it's the most, for someone like me, I'm pretty stubborn.
Uh-huh.
I hate paying for things if I don't have to. I hate fighting for parking spots. I hate working hard for things, and biking is just the perfect answer for it's convenient. It's independent. You don't have to wait for anybody. You can just hop on and go. It costs nothing. You lock it to the nearest bike rack. You know, there's just no downside. Well, okay. The downside is it's cold.
Right.
And maybe sometimes your bike gets stolen. But what other downsides are there? I mean, not many, really.
Right, right. Well, and it's in Portland, it's very cold very rarely, and your bike gets stolen pretty rarely.
And my bike is like I was talking about cars earlier, my bike is that middle-of-the-road bike that nobody's going to want.
No one's, okay. It's not so cheap that it's easy,
and it's like a penny that you find on the ground, but it's not so expensive they could actually sell it on eBay. It's just kind of a cheap old bike. It gets me where I want to go.
Well, and that's something you mentioned in your sort of comments to the comments is like anything that's, you know, so expensive to have is totally impractical.
I'm just kind of an anti-money person in general, sure. Though I have, you know, I'm comfortable and all that. I just think, why spend a lot of money on something that, you know, you could ruin, you could lose. I don't know. What's the difference between a $5,000 bike and a $1,000 bike, really? My dad would probably argue me to the ground about that because he's a racer.
Okay.
But I see no difference.
He's the $5,000 bike
guy. He is, yeah.
And you probably aren't interested in winning races, I'm assuming.
Sure, but you don't use your Indy car to drive to the grocery store either.
That's right.
Yeah. A good point. Yeah. It's different things for different tasks, sure. Different places. Yeah.
I did borrow his bike for a race, though.
Okay. Oh, yeah. How'd you do?
I came in third.
There we go.
Hey.
Congratulations. Which race was this?
Oh, this was the fat ladies version of a mini triathlon at the Blue Lake.
Is that, that seems uncharitable. I feel like that.
Yeah, they have this category for fat women. It's called the Clydesdale.
Okay.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems like piling on.
No, that's a class of runners.
Yeah,
and
if you're overweight or if you're just heavy.
Yeah, yeah. There's Clydesdale marathon runners.
Interesting.
Yeah. So because you have so much extra weight, you have to have a little something. It's like golf.
I disagree with the taxonomy already.
Right.
This is a problem. Well, but congratulations on placing and congratulations.
Third out of the fat girls, yeah.
Was this carbon bike?
I don't know. That's a thing.
It's really expensive. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Easy enough.
That makes it even better.
It was expensive.
But, you know, my running shoes were $20.
So. There you go. Yeah.
And my swimsuit, you know, $35. I don't know.
Right, right. And they generally last about as long as the ones that would cost a lot more, I'm sure. So, yeah. Well, speaking of this, you did a clever article on fashion as well. You did a survey of what people were wearing as they rode across the Hawthorne Bridge.
Yep.
What did you find?
Well, I found a lot of fun, friendly people. That was the best part about it. I sat up there. It was the end of summer, beautiful day. I just kind of perched myself on the rail on the east side of the bridge and watched people come towards me. And they were all smiling, almost every single one of them. We had a beautiful sunny weather and people wearing all sorts of different things. And I kind of tried to categorize them into different groups of kinds of clothing, you know, just trying to give them some kind of statistical place to put the tally mark. And we saw people wearing their business clothes and folks wearing maybe jeans and other folks wearing athletic gear. And so I just kind of marked up what I saw. And I kind of thought that maybe this early batch was college kids. And because there was a big swarm of jeans wearing folks coming right out about 4:30 to 5. Huh. And then we had a lot of people who looked like they were super serious and they really wanted to get home quick.
Yeah.
And they were wearing more of the, you know, the gear with the logos on them and the.
They were sponsored, I assume.
Sponsored, yeah.
Sponsored commuters?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was our friend David Hetty, one of his friends I had on the show like last year, the year before, and he made the comment that Portland's commuters were some of the fastest commuters he had ever observed. This guy was from Texas somewhere, from Waco, I believe. And
well, in Waco, I bet it's pretty sweaty to go very fast.
I would imagine so, yeah. But he was on a racing team as well, or he does a lot of like faster riding. And apparently, he said that Portland's commuters. That's where they get their training, and maybe there's a bunch of racers mixed into the commute crowd. But yeah, I've noticed that as well. And I think I'm not a competitive person, but if there is one place where it comes out, it's trying to avoid being passed on the right when I'm commuting home. So. I tend to feel maybe not pressure, but I'm almost about to admit that I like competition. Yes. I shouldn't
do
that.
I have to admit that everybody passes me, for one thing. Uh-huh. So I don't really care about how fast I'm going. But everybody who passes me are fat and skinny and tall and short and wearing all different kinds of things.
All kinds.
They're wearing their little mini skirts and their boots and their jeans and whatnot. But everybody passes me. And I find that interesting. But the second thing I find interesting is that as time has passed, more and more people are dressing in their business attire.
Ah, yeah.
Just changing
their
shoes or maybe putting on some
suits on bikes.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. I kind of feel like, hey, I started doing that a long time ago. Maybe I can maybe consider myself a forerunner. I don't know. Maybe.
Totally. Yeah. And the fact that that's making like bicycling very utilitarian, like people can do it without having to have a bunch of special
stuff.
Oh
my God. I used to pack. Okay. I used to plan the night before what I was going to wear. So I'd plan out what I was going to do, put it in my backpack, pack the towel, put the shampoo, whatever, get my backpack ready. The next morning I'd get up at 5:00. I'd get in my bike. I'd ride to work in my Lycra, take my shower, change and go to work, and then do the whole thing backwards again on the way home. It's like, well, why not just go a little slower?
And not wear all
skip
of that.
All that. Yeah. So that's my new approach. But, you know, I don't get a workout either, though.
That, well, I mean, I suppose, yeah. It's not as aggressive as it would be if you had
your
workout gear. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, people say, you get some exercise every day. I'm saying, well, yeah, like walking. I mean,
Right, right. So I started counting calories back in May because I was a little bigger than I wanted to be. And it started when I burst the button off of my pants, I think, from like the year before.
Oh, I did not know this part.
Yeah, that was exactly why I was like, well, you know, these shorts were hanging off of me at the end of my last bike tour where we had like climbed 11 mountain passes and on the road for 8 weeks or something like that. And then the next, you know, the next season around, the next time it's warm enough to wear the shorts again, I don't fit into them. So, yeah, that was when I realized that the bicycling does burn calories, but not nearly as many as I thought that it did. Like, I thought it was basically a license to eat whatever I wanted to, and I was wrong. So it's good to know.
It's really fascinating. I used to run to work.
Oh, really?
7 miles one way, 3.5 miles each way.
Yeah.
Every single day I'd run to work, and I was no skinnier than I am now. In fact, I was heavier.
Uh-huh.
Because I think when you exercise a lot, at least some people, you really want to eat more. You get
sure.
hungry, right?
Sure.
And so you eat more.
Yes.
And so, you know, I don't think exercise is the way to lose weight.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Don't tell the doctors I said that. But I think just eating less is the only answer there.
At least burning more than you're taking in. If losing weight is your goal, burning more calories than you're bringing in.
Yeah.
But exercising makes you hungry, right?
Exercise alone can't help it. But yeah. It's funny. Because I don't do a lot, as much touring as I'd like to do. But the last couple trips or bike camping excursions I've been on, I would come home and I would be really hungry, but I would have, I don't know, just enough awareness about me to say to myself, like, okay, nope, we're home. We're not going to be biking, you know, 60 miles a day anymore.
You're already light years ahead of me.
Well, I'm not saying I'm good at it, but just the awareness is there.
Okay, yeah.
I probably still have as much food.
Yeah, well, sure, yeah. Now, that's always where I get in trouble, is just the idea of like, oh, I've been burning all these calories. It's the same thing I've heard about, like, you know, old farmers and football players that retire and that sort of thing, is you get used to one level of activity, one level of intake.
Well, your body still craves that.
Right, it's like I'm used to eating my whole pizza, you know, for lunch and then, you know, and then doing it again the next day, and I can no longer sustain that amount of intake. So, yeah.
Your stomach's a jerk.
It really is. Always wants more than it needs.
Oh, those college days of the pint of Haagen-Dazs for lunch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. Man. So I don't often do this, but today I actually had an entire bag of, Lay's Munchies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. At the corner store next to where I work. And yeah, it was just like I hadn't probably eaten a good enough lunch to take care of myself until I got home. So yeah, it's the first time I've done the shame food in a good long while. I paired it with a cup of like vending machine coffee. But it's also below freezing out. It's not as cold as it was a couple days ago, but it feels like I need this just to insulate myself against the cold.
I like to brag to my daughters about how when I was younger, I could eat the whole extra large pizza by myself.
You know, extra large?
Extra large,
wow,
yeah.
That's impressive.
Track town.
Yeah.
And so my oldest daughter kind of trying to emulate me at one point, and she got up to, I think, 16 slices.
Okay.
It's pretty good. And she's also kind of following through on our efforts to create the next generation of bikers.
Because oh, really?
She's 15 and she's riding her bike to class and back and forth to all of her different events. And I'm really quite proud of
right
her.
Right on. Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. It's good to pass the values along. Yeah. I've always wondered about that because maybe on the other end, I remember talking to, like, say, Joker Mask of the Metal Cowboy, and we talked to him about the time that his oldest son was just kind of becoming a teenager, and talking about how, like, you know, he really wants a car, and that's what you do. It's, I mean, it's a big piece of the culture. So,
sure.
I've always wondered if it was possible. I mean, what do you think that your daughter will someday also want a car, or?
My daughter doesn't even want to learn how to drive.
Okay.
She got her permit because we kind of made her. And she doesn't ever ask to go out practicing driving. She's pretty much decided that she doesn't really care.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, lower insurance for us. But,
sure.
You know, also, if she doesn't need it, eventually she's going to need to know because everybody needs to have that skill. But wouldn't that be great if the next generation of teenagers just grew up not really caring?
Well, and I've heard that's kind of a trend that's emerging. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
More people that are growing up this day, I was going to say more teenagers, more kids, kids these days, they don't want cars, but that's apparently like what the statistics say is that more and more people like in high school are opting if they have a choice between a car or a smartphone, they're going to get the smartphone because that's what
too.
People are up to.
They used to have pictures of people and their car in the yearbook.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if they do that anymore, but when I was growing up, they had like, you know, people lying on the hood of their car. I was like, that is so obscene.
And now it's people lying on the screen of their smartphone. Because the screens are getting bigger and bigger. But I think it's a good idea just to have, you know, like if you can stave off the car ownership as like a rite of passage and instead get them involved in a smartphone, like that helps out with transit. It helps out with like mapping apps if people are into that. And if they're not into any of that, it helps them like communicate with their other friends who live in other places who might come and pick them up or something, which again staves off like the car ownership as a rite of passage. I love driving. I'm a big fan. It's why I have a job where I drive. But I also think that like there are so many other
driving
things.
Driving in and of itself shouldn't be like held up as high.
Well,
as
the thing that makes you an adult, yeah.
Right,
and like
right.
In farming communities, for example, you get your farm license so you can drive like a big old truck or whatever when you're like 12 or 8 or
sure.
As soon as you can reach the pedals because you're hauling potatoes from the field to the barn or whatever. So, yeah, I think it's nice just to kind of like move that to the side and say, here's a thing you can learn how to do, but not make it like the central, like now you're all grown up. Because obviously when you get your car, you're not grown up.
Look at the traffic so much, accident statistics.
Yeah. So much less so if you, if you don't buy it yourself.
I like the Portland Public Schools bus pass sticker on the back of their student IDs.
Yeah.
That is so big. I think that's just like the key to independence for kids. They can take the bus to their job. They can take the bus to the sporting events. They can ride their bike, put on the bus.
Totally.
It's totally a nice replacement for that.
And that's been a re-up for another year, right? Because it's a program that's been kind of in jeopardy, as I understand. Like, the funding sources are spread wide and nebulous, and no one's sure who's going to fill the gaps.
Yes,
right.
We never know what's
going
to happen year to year. But I tell you, if there's one thing I'm a big advocate for, that's it. I think giving kids the ability to travel around on TriMet, which is a great system, is key.
Yeah. And not only do these students learn how to get to and from school using the bus, but they get used to using the bus and they can take it anywhere they want to. Do you know if that pass is valid on the aerial tram from the waterfront to OHSU?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I don't know. I couldn't say.
Because I think if you get like TriMet's yearly pass or some of the passes you get give you that thing. I think I can do it with mine.
Okay.
But yeah.
But you know, kids also, they have sports practices all over the place. When I was growing up here in Portland, I'm a native Portlander, you know, all the practices that I went to were within half a mile of the school. And now kids have to travel all the way across town just to practice, not even just games, but practices, because fields are very highly sought after.
Hard to come by.
They're hard to come by. So there might be four JV soccer teams, and one of them practices at Wilson High School area field. Another one practices in Selwood, and you have to get there somehow.
Totally. Yeah. So knowing how to use the bus is doubly advantageous there.
Yep.
I suppose the schedules are probably a bit tight then if you have to, because public transit always takes a little bit longer than a direct connection.
Yeah, I imagine. I think probably most people carpool with parents.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. I don't have kids who do that kind of thing.
That's probably fine. It's less complicated that way. I'm not much of a sports fan myself. Well, speaking of carpooling, the last big topic that we wanted you to shed some light on was back when you were writing for Portland Afoot. There was this really interesting series of articles that you did about the car sharing systems here in town. And the two big ones are Zipcar and Car2Go. And so you examined those. I believe Getaround, do you have experience with Getaround as well?
You know, my article on Getaround was kind of just a funny little thing because I have this really old car that no one would ever want to rent. And so I just kind of made a funny story about how I was rejected off of Getaround because my car was so nasty. But I've never used the service. A funny thing is though, my neighbor has a car exactly like mine, same model, same year, same color. Parked in the street two houses from me, and it's a get-around car.
Oh, really?
And I look at that car and people getting in and out of it, I'm thinking, oh, hey, I could do that with my car, and we could be confused, and who knows which car is which, and maybe
someone
the key...
grabbed the wrong car,
maybe
and the
key
works.
Would work.
You could upgrade.
But so my articles about Car2Go and Zipcar were in November about, I think it was just a year ago, actually.
Okay.
I took 2 weeks off without using my car. I decided I was going to pretend like I didn't own a car. And I couldn't accept rides from anybody to make it easy. So I made sure that every car ride I had was either in a Zipcar for 1 week or a Car2Go for the next week. And it was actually really hard.
Yeah.
Because I'm spoiled. I mean, I have two cars. I have a bike. I live in a great place. I have all these wonderful amenities and ways to get around. A TriMet bus stop half a block from my house. So I kept using all those things as well. But if I had a last minute, you know, need to go to Fred Meyer's for an ingredient, I was making something, I'd have to either ride my bike, or if it was really cold out, I'd have to get a car, rent it and pay for it, you know, and have to actually value the use of it enough to want to pay for it.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the lesson there, is coming home from class, if you want to take a quick stop somewhere, is it worth the $7.50 that you're going to pay for that extra 15, 25 minutes just to pick up some cream or just to make sure that you drop the mail in the mailbox or whatever you're stopping for? So it really made you evaluate time versus money in a lot of ways.
You think differently about like time when the clock is running. It's like having a cab waiting outside
for
you, I guess.
It is.
Yeah. It's fascinating. I don't do a lot of car sharing. And matter of fact, I think we talked about this like last week or the week before, like when I left Zipcar, because I didn't really use it that much, I think I owe them like $50 or something like that. And I'm not sure why.
Were you late?
I might have been.
That's the late fee.
Maybe that was it.
Be warned.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
But I think they waived it because I was like canceling my
because
membership
you're famous,
or something.
Because you have a Wikipedia page?
apparently not. But if I get a Wikipedia page, it's going up on it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this guy has some late fees, just so you know.
It'll be a special section.
Yeah.
Brock did us in Zipcar.
It'll be one of the subheadings, just like fines owed. You had some difficulties, as I recall, Kathy, when you were trying to reserve vehicles because you don't use a smartphone.
Oh,
or you didn't at the time?
I still don't. I have to
That's
graduate
okay.
to adulthood someday.
That's okay.
Someday
I
will. But you know, until my company pays for me to have one, I'll just kind of go with what they give me, which
right.
is a cheap flip phone from 8 years ago. So I don't have a smartphone, and Zipcar wasn't so bad. You have to reserve those in advance anyway. But Car2Go was really tough because I imagined it as picking up somebody at a bar is kind of how I saw it. I mean, I saw these zip cars as just kind of available. And if it's there, it's for me, but I can't get it without an app, right?
Yeah,
I can't know where it is and can just wander upon it and find it on my way very easily. So it wasn't quite the dream come true.
Okay.
It kind of made
just
me,
like bars.
Yeah, I was going to say, just like going
just
to
like
bars.
Picking up guys in bars. It's not everything you expect.
No.
Yeah.
The smartphone is the drink you buy.
That's right.
I suppose you're right.
And
yeah.
you know, I thought I had it made when I would bring it home at 11 o'clock at night, park it right in front of my house, and had a 7 o'clock appointment the next morning. I was
no
sure
way
it
someone
would be there.
Would get it.
I was sure I'd have it, you know, a steady for the next morning. But
who
no.
would want it between now and then?
Somebody.
Do you live near a bar?
I do.
Okay, so maybe that was it.
I do live near a really cool
About
bar.
About 2:30 in the morning, somebody stumbles out and they're like,
on a
"Hey, where's my card?"
You know?
Yeah. That's probably me.
So that was tough.
I'm the guy that's drunk on Thursday
so
night.
So when that happens, I have to, you know, quick look up where the next close one is, and it's 5 blocks, 7 blocks, 12 blocks away, and I have to walk all the way to get it, and by the time I've gotten it, it would have taken me the same amount of time to walk to the appointment.
Sure.
Right. So that's the advantage of Zipcar, is that you always know where they are.
Yep.
But you do have to schedule them a lot farther in advance.
That's right.
Which is more like that's more like the courtship on the front porch with the father like cleaning his gun or something, yeah. I guess, as opposed to the bar. But yeah.
The gun is the late fees.
That's right. That's right, exactly. Yeah.
You see this here, son?
So I forget, Kathy, do you also have a TriMet pass?
I don't, but I have tickets.
Okay, easy enough. So you keep those on the ready just in case. Okay, so that's an option.
I think having the full gamut available at all times is really the best way to go. I have a Zipcar card. I have a Car2Go card. I have my TriMet. I've got my bike. I've got my walking shoes. I got my raincoat. I live 3.5 miles from my job, so that's really the key right there.
That's
if I lived
good.
10 miles, it'd be so much different.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I've placed myself. Luckily, I was able to place myself in a place that makes all of this very easy.
Right, right. So do you have any advice for people that don't have the perfect situation? Say someone who lives in some like a suburb farther flung from where they work, or a town where there just isn't good public transit or good bike networks. Like, do you have any insight based on your experience here that might transfer over to them?
Wow, that is a tough question because
don't feel like you have to answer it.
Frankly,
if you don't. Yeah,
it's
hard.
I mean, I used to work in Tualatin, and so I'd ride the 96, which is a long I-5 bus. You just hop in downtown and you ride the I-5 all the way out to Tualatin. And that's kind of what my imaginations of people living in the suburbs is. You only have very few choices, and they're kind of long, and they have just a very set route that goes maybe not where you want to go. And
right.
So it's not going to be as convenient. So the only thing I can think of is work at home.
Telecommute, yeah.
Telecommute. Or you know, just be aware that time is what's worth more to you, your time or your money.
Right.
That goes all the way down to where you buy your house. You
right,
know?
Yeah.
People who buy cheap houses out in the middle of nowhere are making up for that cost by paying for gas, paying for a car, paying for getting to work.
Totally. Yeah, I'm trying to remember the guy's name. I can't think of the author, but he wrote a book called Your Money or Your Life, which I still think is a fabulous resource for anyone trying to figure out their like financial balance sheet. Basically, talking about the idea that, yeah, your time is your money. And if you spend a lot more time paying for a car that, you know, that gets you to work, if you spend a lot more time like on, say, a uniform for work that your employer doesn't provide for you, like all of these are things that count against your actual effective wage. So, yeah, I think that's a good point. That's a great point, actually. So people might need to start thinking about moving closer.
If we can keep doing those infills, you know, keep building those apartments across the street from my house with the 75 apartments and 3 parking spots. You know, that's another article I wrote about how we have that going on. I live right off Division, so we have a lot of development going on Division right now.
Yeah, it's kind of the hot spot.
Yeah.
My wife and I were just talking about that the other day because we remember Division from like before any of it was cool. When the Egyptian Room was still there.
And that was cool too in its own way.
Well, it was, exactly. Well, I miss it. That's the thing. I kind of wish it was still there, but what can you do?
Yeah.
If density can happen in the right way, that'll open up a lot of options for people. It is interesting how some people don't really want, like some people want the illusion of the country. I was listening to OPB. They had a segment with a guy who was claiming that the suburbs were falsely maligned and, it was an interesting article, but I think the illusion of the suburbs is that you are farther away from things, when really you're next to a bunch of people who want to be farther away from things without any of the stuff that you want nearby.
That's a good observation.
It was a fascinating interview because it was kind of like, you know, like when you're listening to something on the radio and you're kind of yelling at the radio because you know they're wrong. That was kind of what I was doing this morning when I was listening to that. So, yeah. Well, thank you for coming in. Was there anything else you wanted to add before we shift to news and headlines or whatever?
Not at all. I appreciate coming on. This was a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. Thank you for your writing and good luck fending off the commenters.
Yes.
As you continue to spread your message of arrogance.
Yeah. I was actually hoping to pull up some highlights from the comments, but man, they're just so many.
There's so many.
I don't know if this is correct, but it does seem like they are kind of like the standard commenters who will kind of wade into whatever issue is around.
And they're all so freaking long. I'm looking at these. Like, I was hoping to get like one or two sentences. Like,
how about some snappy one-liners?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Mom rides arrogantly.
One guy has, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraphs worth. It's so freaking huge.
Anyways, it was kind of fun. I got some people commenting on my writing style, like trying to improve my writing. It was like, okay, thanks. I appreciate that. And I have people telling me that, you know, I was being a jerk. And then I had people coming to my defense, and my mom even posted on there, you know, saying, you know, not everybody can ride our bikes as well as you. And it was just really, this really interesting gamut of conversations happening all at the same time.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I do really appreciate what you mentioned about helmets in your comment, though, or in your, reply to the comments people.
That, you know, I hate wearing a helmet. And I know the helmet debate is a huge, really controversial debate.
It's an unnecessary debate, though.
But if there's a study that says that not wearing a helmet is going to give you a better outcome than wearing a helmet, then I think people have a good argument. But sure. I haven't seen a study like that ever. And if there's any chance at all that me wearing a helmet is going to save my husband from a lifetime of caring for me and wiping my butt while I drool and stare at the floor, I'm going to do it for him.
Sure.
I think that's the bottom line for me.
Yeah. But, and you make it very clear that that's your choice that you're doing, you know, like you value your husband and your relationship to him enough that you choose to wear a helmet, but in no way do you make this like, you're an asshole for not wearing a helmet. Like,
yeah, I don't really, I guess I don't really care if you wear a helmet, except that if you end up in the operating room and it's costing you a lot of money and taxes because you didn't, I don't know, maybe there's
if this
some...
is distributed over, yes, the public health system. Yeah, then in that case, that's
especially
a problem.
With that, I don't worry about that Obamacare. Socialism.
That's right. I don't know if it's right. It's fascinating. Yeah, no, that was a good point made, actually. And that was that above anything else, I think, like, because I don't care necessarily about the safety quotients and whatnot. Like, I guess I feel like I'm rolling good odds at the table or something when it comes to safety. But I can understand, like, things happen out of nowhere. Things can happen when you're on the road. And if your health is at jeopardy and people love you, that is kind of a liability. So that's, it's a good point to think about.
All right, party.
On that somber note, let's hit the headlines. Good times. This is local Portland band Hurt Bird. That isn't really a band anymore, but we still like this song.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as we can into the morning light. Pedal just as fast as we can.
From rowdykittens.com, Tammy Strobel launches a simple year. 12 months of guided simplicity.
Yeah.
Living simply provides so many benefits, but sometimes can be challenging to maintain a commitment to long-term change. If you look forward to living with less stuff, stress, and obligation, so you can have more time, money, and energy to pursue what means most to you, choose to live a simple year. Each month, you'll receive articles and information about a specific topic. Details below, or in the... Oh, no, we've got the details.
We do have the details.
Yeah, along with a live component like a webinar or teleseminar where you can connect with the author, ask questions, and meet other people with a similar or on a similar path. The live components will be recorded and provided so you can view them anytime.
Yeah, and this is a good thing. Tammy and Logan are former show guests, friends of the show, and good people all around.
Yeah.
They're the ones who live in the tiny house down. I believe right now they're back in Red Bluff. I can't remember. They've moved a couple times this year.
It's a mobile tiny house.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. And actually, that I don't remember the number of the episode, but we did an episode from their tiny house one day back about 2 years
ago
now.
Way back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. So. But yeah, who better to learn things about simplicity from? So yeah, sure. Tammy is hosting this whole thing and some of the guests including, and the topics I thought were fascinating.
Yeah. So let's do a quick round the year with simple living. January, clutter with Joshua Becker. February, busyness with Courtney Carver. March, travel with Colin Wright. April, kitchen with Jules Clancy. May, digital with Tammy Strobel herself. June, work with Courtney Carver. July, money with Joshua Becker. August, stay simple with Brooke McAllary.
That's a tough one, yeah.
Dang it. I'm sorry, Brooke.
That's cool.
September, challenge with the minimalists.
We'll have a fantastic blog, by the way.
Nice. October, Food with Jules Clancy. November, Relationships with Tammy Strobel again. And December, Holidays with The Minimalists.
Yeah, and as these holidays are just approaching now, I was thinking about how difficult it is to maintain a commitment to simplicity in one way or another.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when it comes to Christmassy things.
There was like a good strong, a good number of years that I was like, I'm only going to do handmade gifts.
Right, right.
And they were all pretty good. But then after a while, you just kind of like lose momentum.
Sure, yeah. Well, and handmaking a lot of gifts is pretty tough if you don't have the time or the skills or whatever. And sometimes it's just easier to give a gift card, yeah. Which is what I did this year.
Those are good, too.
Yeah. I think we can all get behind coffee. I think that's
yeah,
okay.
That's true.
Yeah.
How easy is that?
Seriously.
Oregonian sends to us, or we get from them anyways.
They didn't send it to us specifically.
I get the Oregonian still. At
oh, you
do?
I do? Okay. Isn't it like 3 days a week now?
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. Like the day that print journalism ducks
it's
right
dying.
Out of existence. Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of hanging on by a thread to begin with.
Sure.
What other product did you get half of what you got last week for the same price?
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Campbell's soup.
Yes.
I don't know why I said that. From the Oregonian. TriMet on the verge of sending vintage trolley cars to St. Louis, Missouri. Good news for people whose holiday tradition includes catching a free ride on one of the TriMet's vintage trolleys through downtown Portland. There are a few more chances to hop on board before Christmas. TriMet is on the verge of sending cars 511 and 512, known for their original woodwork, iconic design, and old-time conductors, to St. Louis for daily use in a revitalized trolley district in that city.
Wait, say that last bit again.
They will be sending cars 511 and 512, which are known for their original woodwork, iconic design.
Oh, no. Speed up to the part about the
old-time
the vintage
conductors
district.
Yes, to St. Louis, Missouri, for daily use in a revitalized trolley district in that city.
There we go. Oh, okay. Thank you. It's a lot of work for that. I'm sorry. Probably wasn't worth it.
Oh, totally worth it. Our listeners are rolling on the floor right now.
I would
now.
Imagine so.
If the TriMet board approves the proposal, the agency would repurpose the trolley barn at the Rose Quarter into a Max maintenance of way facility to improve maintenance and response time for crews, said TriMet spokeswoman Mary Fetch. Current MOW crews are based in Gresham and Beaverton. The St. Louis Loop trolley project would pay for all transport costs, she said.
That is fascinating to me that like the track repair stuff comes from like either end of the system as opposed to being centrally located.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's always a matter of availability of space and what's going on. And the vintage trolleys were being stored and still are stored at this point underneath the I-5 bridge. So, yeah. I've never ridden the vintage trolley.
I have not either.
Have you, Kathy?
I can't remember if I did or not. But
okay.
I have ridden vintage train trolley things before, and they're very rickety and uncomfortable.
Right, right.
Good thing they're going to St. Louis.
Right.
And see, here I was thinking, like, man, why can't they revitalize our stuff right here in Portland?
Yeah.
But you're saying it's okay. You're willing to let them
I'm
go.
Willing to let it go. It's like wooden roller coasters. Have you ridden one of those lately?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They hurt.
Seriously, yeah. You got to get in with, like, extra pad. If I was dressed as I am now in the summertime, for one of those wooden roller coasters, it would
that.
Be very comfortable. Yeah. No, I think the thing about this is the vintage trolley is a great idea. It's cute, I guess, but you've got what, like 4 weeks in the winter and 4 weeks in the summer that you can ride it or something like that. And only on the weekends. It almost seems, I mean, forgive me if there are any transit and train fans out there that are terribly offended when I say this, but it seems like a waste of money.
Boo.
Yeah, yeah. I love history as much as the next guy, but you know, especially if these would be used daily on a daily basis in St. Louis, fantastic.
Sure.
Great place to start the Lewis and Clark adventure cycling route, I believe.
You know, I was looking incidentally, tangentially maybe.
Yeah.
I was looking at
trigonometrically
a map of the Oregon Trail. And I thought to myself, I would like to fly over to Independence and then ride the trail To the Dells or even
on a on a Moonlander. Some big.
I guess you would
bike.
Have to get some sort of big ass bike like that.
Yeah. It would depend on the sections of trail that you wanted to ride, and whether or not you could still do it, because a lot of it goes through like private property now, right? Like the actual ruts, the actual route of the path.
So you have to do it fast.
I guess, yeah. You're running from the bulls. Yeah. I guess that's all of our stuff, isn't it?
That's all of our headlines.
Yeah. The last thing I was thinking of was that basically there was something in the comments on the Oregonian about how people thought that these trolleys should be revitalized, and instead of buying brand new streetcars, like the city's been doing, they should just put ADA access, like ramps, onto these old streetcars and run them instead.
Sure.
But, Kathy, your point stands. They're rickety and old.
They're rickety and uncomfortable.
Yes.
Aren't they open air as well? Yeah.
Yes.
That would not work.
Not at all.
I would give it a week in the winter, and people would be going like, send these out.
Exactly. No, please send us some more American-built cars. It sounds like a good idea. So, yeah. Anyways, there's your train stuff right there. Your train news for the week. So, what else we got? We got some good stuff.
We got... Hey, we got mail.
That's right.
From Glenn in Edmonton. YEG is airport code for Edmonton.
Y-E-G.
Alberta. Yes. Yeah, I've been pronouncing it as if it was its own word.
Right. YEG bike, which was the hashtag that we were mystified by.
Right.
But now it makes more sense. You know, if they had used capital letters, Y-E-G, for YEG bike, I think I would have probably picked up on it sooner. Yeah.
But can you use capitals in a hashtag? I guess
you can use whatever you want in a hashtag.
And this just shows how much I know about that world.
That's okay.
Anyways.
Is it hashing? Is that the...
Oh, talking about hash.
Let's put a bookmark in that, because we should talk about that before we let you go.
Yeah.
Wait, all right.
Do you hear something kind of... Oh, I think your phone is going off.
Oh, it's cool.
Kathy.
No worries.
It's so far away, I don't care.
All right, right on.
It's so far away, neither do we.
I thought I was getting signals from the mothership or something.
It's all that tinfoil.
Sorry, Glenn. Let's finish your mail here. So YEG is airport code for Edmonton, Alberta, where we're trying to make things more bike-friendly.
Hence the hashtag YEGBike.
YEGBike.
Yeah.
Have you devoted any time in your great podcasting to shooting GoPro video while riding? Here are a few musings from the topic, on the topic from the archive.
Yeah, simple answer is no, we have not yet, which I don't know much about it, so.
I don't have a GoPro to do such a
ride.
So would the be just audio then of you screaming as you went down the hill?
Right.
That's right. Strap an audio mic to your chest. A lot of wind. Yeah, exactly.
Yes!
Exactly. 46 miles an hour. Woohoo! Yeah.
Thanks again for writing in, Glenn.
Seriously.
We ragged on you twice in a row.
We're not ragging. We're just irreverent.
We're having... Yeah.
There's a difference.
There you go.
We love Glenn. And we're ridiculous.
We got a text as well.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I think it's our first text.
It's been the first in a while.
Okay.
But there's only like one person I know who texts, but I didn't respond to find out who it was. So for now, it's anonymous.
So anonymous text. A 40-ounce... And Prince and the Revolution! !
Fantastic. Right. Our listeners are up to good things.
Yes. Listener Dion twitters to us, this article about Specialized suit against Cochrane bike builder, but they won't try that with Fuji, where they sell a Roubaix road bike.
Yeah,
they both have Roubaix.
Is it Roubaix? Is that the proper pronunciation?
That's how I heard it.
Okay, cool. Kathy, do you know French?
I used to.
It's okay. Roubaix is the trademark. We'll roll with that one. That Specialized apparently owns a line of Roubaix bicycles. There's also this guy up outside of Calgary, I believe, Alberta, who has been hand-making bikes. And he's got this little business. You know, it's small guy, one-man operation. And he has these Roubaix bikes. And so Specialized, their want.
Yeah.
Is going after the little guy and saying,
Specialized
no,
do that.
That word is our word. You owe us money or stop.
Didn't Specialized do that to a Portland frame builder too?
They did it to now Sugar Wheelworks. I believe it was formerly Epic Wheels or something like that. It's all covered in the most recent edition of Bike Snob. But yeah, it's Specialized, they're a bunch of dicks. They're the worst people in the world because, like, basically they go around looking for things that sound similar to their names or whatever and quashing
them. Yeah, this is indicative of just how too big their company is.
Sure.
They've got people hired on where that's their job.
Right,
that's
right.
That's what they do.
When you have, like, a professional litigator as, like, part of your upper staff, that seems like a problem. Yeah.
That, I think, is very problematic.
They should get that program that finds out whether they're at their desk or not and put that in. I bet they're never at their desk. Terrible. Yeah, so anyways, your old bike, Erin, was a Specialized.
It was.
So maybe it's all for the best.
Dearly.
Yeah, of course. She was a good horse.
She was a great horse, yes.
But now you're dealing with people like Surly that don't litigate.
As far as I know.
We don't know about it. Maybe they do too.
You never
know. But they've been really cool to me, and you know, everything I read about and buy them.
Totally.
I'm totally stoked to have a Surly.
Yeah. So anyways, fascinating story, and thank you, Dion, for sending that in. And then this press release from BeerCycling.com.
BeerCycling.com sends us their press release for the Ardennes Trappist Challenge. Oh, no shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
So, beer, bikes, and monks in Belgium, I think. Is that
2014,
is that in Belgium?
Huh?
I forget. I should have read the press release.
Is this an event?
Yeah, this is a thing that it's a press release, so they're kind of doing publicity for this. I believe they're selling tickets to this guided tour where people will ride from Trappist Monastery to Trappist Monastery sampling their beers. So,
but it's not a race, though. It's just
No.
Well, unless it's a race to see who can get the most beer first.
Well, now this sounds like the hash, but there's a thing called the bash, which is biking.
Interesting.
It's bike hashing,
so many more things we could talk about.
Yeah,
here.
So in brief, what's the hash first off?
The hash is a running club it's a drinking club with a running problem.
There we go. Priorities.
And, yeah, exactly. So they run around Portland and other cities. There's one in every major city in the whole world. And they look for fun ways to get from point A to point B, usually through swamps and river basins and under, you know, private property, through tunnels, through blackberry bushes, the best possible way to get from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Lots of beer involved.
As the crow flies.
Yeah, yeah. So imagine that running, that's the hash, and then imagine that on a bike, and that's the bash.
Wait, okay. Was there something of that going on Saturday evening?
If you ever see little white marks on the sidewalk that kind of show up every 20 yards, you know that you've stumbled upon
a hash route.
Okay.
Nice. And there was a fantastic article for Bike Portland. That's the one you wrote, is that right?
It was for a PDX Afoot.
Long ago. Yeah. That's right. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So I'll dig that up. We'll link to that as well. But that was a fantastic full explanation of kind of what this is and how it works.
It's pretty fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as you were talking about this, I went ahead and opened up the link to the Ardennes Trappist Challenge. It's an 8-day tour with 3 Trappist monasteries and a total of 9 breweries. It's not a race. It's just a tour, I guess.
Beer every day.
Maybe the challenge is just being able to finish.
Being able to make it to camp at night. Yeah. That was like my tour from 2011 with my friends. We had a day where we visited several breweries in a day, and we were pretty faded by the end of the day. Not saying we were doing anything illegal, because that would be wrong.
Correct.
And we would not do that or support it or endorse it. But it was quite the day. Yeah, we wouldn't do a thing like that at all. So, hey, iTunes review. Can I read this?
Please.
All right. From Robert Hatley. This guy says, Brock and Erin are awesome. I quibble. But he says, I bike commute in the Portland area. This show is a great listen with relatable guests. Kathy, that's for you. I have now gone
You're
back.
You're a relatable guest?
Yes.
Wow.
I have now gone back and listened to all past episodes.
Holy shit.
Because that's a little crazy, because we're on 161.
Yeah.
Which divided by 60.
A lot of hours there.
Yeah, that's a lot. Well, yeah, I guess that's okay. Yeah, yeah. So my math.
Multiply by 60.
But. Yeah. So how many days straight would that be? That'd be like, it'd be a lot. Yeah.
Too many for me to really.
Seriously. So thank you, Robert. We appreciate that. If you like the show, you want to go and review us on iTunes. I know some podcasts make a big deal about it. We read ours when I remember that there are reviews and that people could write them. So, hey, write us a review.
Yeah.
I hear it helps, but I mean, who cares?
It just means what? They bump us up on the search if somebody like.
Yeah, I think it makes it that
types
much more.
SPR, you
probably.
Know, we might be one of the ones that comes up.
Yeah, some
up
algorithm
as a suggestion
that determines how popular you are.
Sure.
Yeah. Because we're going for popular. And then there's some Stitcher reviews.
Stitcher reviews. Review number one. I just found out we have Stitcher reviews.
Yes, that's right.
These things exist. Okay, so mine's kind of really blurry.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we don't have Stitcher reviews.
We have them. We just can't read them. From Zola?
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is kind of blurry.
I can maybe read this. Brock and Aaron bring me an enjoyable and entertaining episode every week. Nestled in the heart of Cascadia and from Portland.
That is blurry.
They bring very atypical guests.
Oh, nice.
Relatable,
Kathy,
and atypical.
Atypical and relatable.
Down to earth, slightly offbeat, always having a good time. These guys are who I'd like to have as neighbors. Look forward to listening. Never disappointed.
Oh, well,
Where do you live?
Yeah, exactly. We might be.
We might be.
It's very possible. and from Team O.
And from Tim O. Oh, Team O.
I think.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it is Tim O. Maybe it's not Team O. That T is from the beginning of the show. Wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Love the Sprocket. 5 stars. I look forward to the Sprocket podcast every week on Stitcher. I can listen whenever, wherever I am on my iPhone the moment it's updated. Kudos, guys.
Aw, good times.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
Thanks, Tim O.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate people listening and stuff like that. That's good.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm verklempt.
Are you? Are you really? Somewhat fecund?
Speechless.
Yeah.
It's hot in here.
Wasn't fecund in one of your articles, Kathy? I don't know if you keep track of the adjectives.
I do
that you
not
use.
Keep track of the words I use.
That one sticks out to me for some reason.
I bet you it was talking about Cardigo.
I think it was.
Yeah, because they're like little rabbits. Yeah,
yes. Yeah, okay, that's it. They're all over.
Overpopulated.
Yes. Yes.
But cute.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously, that's why I use them. I wish there were more of those electric drive, because those are they're cute and like they don't smell.
I tell you though, I hate the steering in there. Oh,
oh really?
I hate those cars.
Really? So the steering is bad in your experience?
Yeah.
How so?
Maybe it's not the steering. It's like the automatic. It's like this automatic manual.
Okay.
That revs up and then changes gears.
Oh,
and
like
you're
the
not
transmission.
Really, yeah, that's a transmission.
Yeah,
steering.
It's like halfway between an automatic and a manual.
It's like a golf cart. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So if you like grinding golf carts, then yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, but you can turn around in the middle of the street and do like just spinning in the middle of the street. That's kind of
right,
cool.
Right.
Kind of cool.
And if people go out and listen to episode 100, in which Brandon Rhodes and I did, basically we took every mode of transit possible, I think, more or less. We started out the day walking to a bar and he drank. I did not. I drove the car to go. He rode in it and we did some fun stuff in the car to go. So yeah, that was how we started that thing out. Well, hey, this has been a good show. Got to wrap it up. Was there anything else? One last chance, Kathy, to
nothing at all
break
to say
the world apart with your words.
If you don't like what I have to say, that's fine. I like what I have to say, and that's all that matters, right?
That's way less controversial than I was expecting.
That's free speech right there. That's like the whole everything you want from it. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will talk to you next week when we bring you The Sprocket Podcast.
Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program and suggestions for topics and or guests and or drinks. Write to us via email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Or call and leave us a message or text to us at 503-847-9774. Connect with us on Twitter at The Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. Find him on the internet at ryanjlane.bandcamp.com. Thanks to Hurt Bird for our headline sounder. Find them at hurtbirdmusic.com. And thanks to Brian Logan for his reoccurring donation.
That's right. This is an amazing Angry Orchard Cider. It
awesome.
Was fantastic. See you everybody later.
Thank you all
bye
for
bye.
Listening.
We don't usually, we try not to use hand signals, I think. Yeah.
I think the one time we tried to arrange something ahead of time.
What was that?
It failed terribly.
Going somewhat off the rails is amusing to many.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So we shoot for that, kind of a happy medium.
Okay.
When I saw Adele's snowflakes made out of old maps, it got me a little excited.
my husband, when I first met him, had this car, 71 VW Rabbit or something like that. Hole in the floor, you know, just a car that was worth about $200.
Yeah.
So this super, super cheap car got stolen all the time. And then our friend had a Porsche, got stolen all the time. I had like this four-door boring kind of sedan-y thing, 15 years old, never got stolen.
Yeah.
It wasn't so cheap that they thought it was a lark. And it wasn't so expensive that they thought they wanted to have it.
Yeah. So you have to find that sweet spot.
So you have to find that sweet, exactly, a spot right in the middle.
A domestic car. It can't be an import.
Once upon a time, there was a dog, and he lived in the street, and it was raining outside. Does this sound okay?
This is a sad story.
That dog, he ran around in the puddles, and he bumped his butt in the puddles, and his name became Puddle Bumper, and that was my mom's way of telling me my dog's name.
So did you say... full hour is good, or
you can go as long as you feel
okay.
Like, as long as you don't make it boring.
Oh, we don't. All right. We try. We attempt not to.